So let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark. Let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
Well, good day to you all and welcome. This is the second week of Epiphany Year C for our lectionary, and we are going through the New Testament texts. So today we will be looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, and we will be keeping with our theme, fear and desire. For those of you who may not know, who may have just found us on iTunes, you can actually go to our website, catchylecti.com or .org. And our good friend Jonathan Spring develops graphics that can be used for your bulletins, for your slides, for all your social media outlets. So it works out pretty nicely. I gave Jonathan a picture of my hometown in Durango, and he crafted it to make it a Colorado-themed fear and desire layout and background. So you might want to give that resource a try if you are like me and aren't very good at computer graphics. If you are good at computer graphics and you like what we're doing, give us a shout out, because I bet Jonathan would also love some help in that department. Well, my name is Patrick Engel, and I pastor in Southwest Colorado, and I am joined today by my friend Chris Patton, and he pastors in Akron. We are just going to jump right into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. If you have, if you are looking for some more information on our theme, fear and desire, check out our first podcast for Epiphany 1, and that would be over Acts 8. But for that, let's just start reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another by faith, the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. What are your thoughts?
I really love this text, and I like this book of the Bible, even though it's fraught with Paul trying to deal with conflict.
Yeah, why do you like it so much? Like, I don't hear a lot of people like it, because it is, like, it feels so much like our churches. I think that's why I don't like it.
I think that it as much as any other, speaks to a contemporary situation within the church. Like this particular text. I mean, Paul is working really hard to make this argument that there's all kinds of gifts and services and activities, but there's one God. And you can tell that the church is I don't want to say, I don't know if the word divided is the right word. That's a pretty heavy-handed word. But there are lots of issues, and people are focused on their gifts or their abilities, and they've forgotten there's this one God that ought to be the center. They've made something else the center.
I kind of like how he's sarcastic. I think that's the one thing that I really do like about Corinthians, is Paul is always sarcastic in his letters. Like, we know that, like, the Corinthians were spiritual people. I mean, he even mentions it in the beginning of this verse, how before they were, they gave themselves to these non-speaking idols. And so he's like, now, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed about spiritual matters. So he's even like saying, listen, I know you think you're spiritual, but you're not. Yeah, right. And this is why you're not. because it's just what you said. You fail to recognize that all things spiritually good come from God and the Spirit.
One of the books that I always read when I go through 1 Corinthians is called Breaking Barriers, The Possibilities of Christian Community in a Lonely World.
Oh, yeah. That's a good book.
Yeah. And I think the thing that always strikes me, and I kind of flip through the part around Corinthians 12 again, is he really points out the way that there were groups of people who were looking down on other groups of people within the church.
Right.
That's always convicting to me, like even me personally, to go, who do I look at, or what gifts within the church? And I'm thinking like the global church, you know, do we kind of look down on the third world church and the ways that they worship or other places like that? And it always convicts me, because we claim to be these people who worship the same God, and yet we end up dividing who's better, who really has the important gifts of the Spirit, and who has the kid table gifts of the Spirit.
And even flip that, like how often do the smaller churches kind of get jealous of the bigger churches or the successful churches? Or, I mean, deemed successful, I guess, sorry, like numbers-wise. And we say, well, something has to be wrong with them, because they're just playing into entertainment, or they're just leading into consumerism. And I mean, it's so easy for us to get divided, whether it be between large and small or between us versus them. And I mean, in this chapter, the next few chapters actually are just all about unity and how we can find unity in the midst of our diversity, and all of the things that we've been given have come from God. So we shouldn't judge or critique who has the better gifts, because they're all gifts from God.
Well, and I like verse 11, and I always enjoy that verse, because it's another reminder, like we talked about last week with in Acts, that the Holy Spirit is a gift. And what comes from the Holy Spirit is a gift. These aren't things we earn or pay for or manipulate. You know, it says they're all activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. I mean, this is a gift, and there's something humbling about remembering that.
Right.
Instead of sort of going, like owning it, like it's ours. I mean, I know a gift, but there's something about going, it's a gift. It's not mine. It was given to me. I didn't earn it.
Well, and I mean, and continue with that thought that it was given to you. It was given to you for a purpose too.
Right. Right.
Right. And I mean, and what's that purpose? Well, for the common good. The purpose of the gifts is for edification of the entire community.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because it's not about I have this gift and you don't, na-na-na-na-na-na. But how does it get used and utilized for other people? Which, again, I think is very humbling.
Right.
Because if you have a gift and all you do is use it to make yourself better, what's the purpose of that? That's not, I don't know, it's kind of a waste.
Like my thoughts are brought onto that, just where we in our society, you know, we use the hashtag blessed a lot, and we talk about like all the good things that we have, and we want to say that we're blessed, and we want to recognize that we're blessed. But in scripture, it seems like the theme of blessing is not just for our own glory or our own edification or even for our own happiness, but it's always for the other in our midst. And the same goes for like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Like we could, again, just like Acts 8, you know, this text has been used to cause division and to make others, well, I have the gift of this. And so, I mean, to just, again, propagate ourselves. But really what this passage is pointing out to is that these gifts have been a blessing for us, so that we can in turn bless others. And the responsibility and the level of responsibilities that go with that, I think is important for us to point out. And just the plurality of these gifts, like there's so many of them. And there's probably more that Paul could have added to this list. That God is so diverse, even in how God gives gifts to us, that we shouldn't necessarily, that it's just, I mean, I think these are just all good things to remember. Right, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
And I like that some of the gifts kind of make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The working of miracles, discernment of spirits, various kinds of tongues. I think some of those gifts make us uncomfortable, and I don't know, it's good for me to remember that I have brothers and sisters who participate and are gifted in these ways, and I'm not. I just hope they don't lord them over me, so.
Yeah. When you were talking about uncomfortableness, I was thinking of, so next week we're going to be looking at the final part of this chapter, but I mean, Paul goes on and he's talking about, he starts going into the metaphor of the body, and then he starts talking about private parts. Right. And I was just like, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of uncomfortable. I don't want to be known as the person of the body of Christ that's the genitalia.
Right?
I hope Jonathan can edit that out.
You don't want to be known as the pinky toe.
That is so much better. I don't want to be known as a pinky toe.
What I'm trying to figure out is how do I talk about this in ways that are encouraging but also honest? Because I think one of the temptations with this text is there's a little bit of a temptation to use it as a club on people.
Right.
Either to say, you know, you need to use your gifts, get after it, or to kind of get on people for, I don't know. I always try to think, how do I be a little more positive and not kind of hang this text out there as a club to beat people with? Because that never helps.
Hey, are you there?
Yeah, are you there?
I just came back. How do you be more positive with this text?
I think positive, encouraging, one, for people who struggle, like maybe they feel like their gifts don't matter as much, or what the Holy Spirit wants to do through them doesn't matter. But also, I don't know, I guess I do want to say we need to be very careful about the way we judge other people's spirituality and faith, but I don't know.
How can this be something that empowers everybody in our congregation to kind of to grab hold of the gifts that God has given them? Yeah. And then, I mean, and I don't know, like maybe it's because I grew up in an evangelical church all my life, and so I've taken, I mean, like countless number of spiritual gifts surveys, and I don't want it to just be like that. Like I really do want people to just to realize that wherever they are at, no matter what they're doing or no matter what their past is, that God has the opportunity to work through that if they are just willing to be present. Does that make sense? Like I don't want to say like you have to have the gift of hospitality, or those of you who have the gift of hospitality, you should be using it. I want to be like, well, the thing is that like we all have the ability to employ that gift of hospitality. Like that's not necessarily just given to certain types of people, you know? Like, yeah. Is that?
I think that's the downside of like spiritual gifts test, is we go, oh, that's my top two and I don't have to do anything else. Which my response, and I think this text works towards this, is, but those, this isn't about what we can do. This is always about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through us, which is beyond what we can do.
Yeah, and the only thing that it's required of us is just to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing.
Yeah.
Right. And so you don't need to feel bad for who you are. You actually need to just continue to seek what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through you and through your circumstances. And just by our sheer response, that's when God starts to work and these gifts start to manifest themselves.
Which is such a scary place, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially if you like to be in control of things.
Spiritual gift tests were written by people who like to be in control of things at all events.
Yeah, I really think they are. I mean, again, like, you know, they were written by people who wanted to put us in categories.
Yeah.
And say, oh, you're good at this, so you obviously should be doing this. Well, and that's, I mean, and that, honestly, like, so I'm not preaching this text this time around. I have a person in my church who's going to be preaching it. I'm working on getting a lay ministry preaching team going. Because I am going bivocational, not because of financial reasons, but because I feel like the Holy Spirit is refining my call in the context in which I'm given, and that this is an opportunity for us at my local congregation to really just embrace this whole idea that we all have gifts and abilities that the Holy Spirit is using within us to build up the community and to build up the congregation. And so this is a way of me taking a more humbler position of working two jobs of pastoring and doing another job in order to just empower the congregation, to let them know you are also ministers of this gospel to this world. And you have responsibilities just like I have responsibilities to be true to this confession that we make together every Sunday. But at the same time, man, talk about an emotional and spiritual and mental crisis that occurs every time I look at, you know, the first church down the street that has 10 staff members and can build a new building. I think, wow, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right choice? And I'm not judging the first church, but I'm judging myself based upon, you know, the characteristics of the other church. And it's hard. And I think this text helps with that.
Yeah. I was going to say, this text kind of points that out, the way that we end up comparing, even if the church down the street wouldn't compare themselves to you, we end up comparing ourselves to them. And yeah, that's interesting that's your place. And this is the text.
Right. And that I'm not preaching it, but I have another person. I have another person preaching it because of this text and because of I think the whole themes and reasons behind what Paul is trying to say to the Corinth church.
I mean, I'm just thinking about the transition that you're working yourself through, that in at least the evangelical church, if not other parts of Christianity, we do elevate some gifts, like the gifts of pastoring, above other gifts, as if they are more important, which is kind of sad, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I agree. I mean, I guess I just don't know, like, what I affirm what you've just said. And I affirm that in my actions and what I am doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I struggle with it, like, because I do recognize it's just kind of what we talked about last week with the apostles. Like, I recognize that there's a place for that type of leadership to affirm the work of the Holy Spirit in and around and through a community, and how that is, you have to be very responsible with that. Like, that's a very responsible thing. But at the same time, I also recognize that in affirming that, we can't mitigate or downplay all the other roles that people serve in the church and in the community.
Yeah, those roles were never meant to begin to exclude. And I think that in our humanness, they end up doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true. We have to be aware of that. We encourage you to listen to our podcast on pastoring and preaching next week. It was good talking to you, Chris.
Good talking to you, Patrick.
Hey, let us know what you think or how you're going to preach this text on our Facebook page or online at catchylecti.com. As always, we'd like to hear from you and how this has helped you, or any other thoughts or suggestions that you may have. Until next time, grace and peace to you.